We believe that God gave birth to his church and left it on the earth to change the world, one person, one city, one nation at a time. Here at Christchurch, we talk of values in terms of our hearts for the individual, a heart for the city, and a heart for the nations. And if you've been journeying with us, members here, for any length of time, you'll know that last year we signed up to a partnership with Tear Fund, one of the world's great aid agencies, because their DNA is so similar to ours, the desire that the church is the agent to change the world, working with others to see transformation come. And we had Nad Parkinson, Tear Fund's Church's Relationship Manager, who came to visit us in October to launch that. She's here again this morning, and she's brought with her Jane Acheloy, who is, well, basically, she runs all the community projects in Uganda. Is that right? That's basically it. And so Jane is going to be speaking to us in just a little while. And you'll be aware as a church, both at the 10 and the 5, we're looking at our teaching under the banner of wholeness. And one of the things we've been saying is that wholeness isn't just what happens within the believer, but something that cannot but flow out. And wholeness involves transformation of others and communities. And this morning, it's going to be an incredible privilege and a joy to hear at first hand just how the gospel of Jesus is the hope of the world and how it is transforming communities and lives, not just here, but in every corner of the globe, and particularly this morning in Uganda. So I'm going to get them both to stand up because I know Nad's going to introduce Jane, but let's give a warm Christchurch welcome to Jane and Nad. Thank you. If we were in Uganda, that applause would go on for about 25 minutes. So I've told Jane, you know, that we're English and we've got a poverty of applause in that sense, so don't worry at all. But we mean it with every clap and we're so delighted to have you with us. So I'm going to hand over to Nad, who is going to just share a few words, read to us, and then she'll introduce Jane.
Thank you, Paul. It's so lovely to be back here with you. I was here in October. Were some of you here then? Yay! So you know a little bit. Hopefully the rest of you will pick up. As we were worshipping, drawing to the end of the worship, I thought, you know, the Lord is doing extraordinary things across the face of the earth. He is so worthy of praise. And the thing that gets me praising the Lord more than absolutely anything is what I see him do through his church across the world in the poorest countries in the world, because it's absolute dynamite. You've got, I mean, poverty is being defeated. It really is, and it's through the local church, and I'm so thrilled that we've got Jane here this morning. She was in Kitgum last week, so she's come fresh with stories from there, and she's immersed in this, and it is truly, it's just jaw-dropping what's happening over in Uganda and in other countries across the world as well. 2 weeks' time, we're having a celebration here in this church on Saturday evening of Tear Fund's work over 50 years, and there'll be lots more stories of the church at the heart of what we're doing across the world. So do come along that night. Your mayor is going to be here that night as well. He's good. He's a really good guy. You're so fortunate to have a Christian mayor. And also our CEO, and I'll be here as well. So, great. Would you like to turn your Bibles, if you've got them, to Genesis chapter 1? And I'm going to read the passage that Jane is going to use to kind of speak. So, if you know anything about your link with Kitgum, you might have heard the words PEP. Now, PEP is basically a process that we kickstart with local churches, getting them reading the Bible. And the Bible has this extraordinary power to transform our minds and the way that we think, so that we think differently to what the world around tells us. And what we're going to read here in Genesis 1 and 2 is the first Bible study that churches read together. Jane will tell us a little bit about the impact that makes on people's lives. We've got a funny little film to show you, someone from Kitgum, where you'll see that. And it's all around this theme of wholeness and realizing that wholeness that God plans for us is so much more than just a spiritual relationship with him. It's the whole of life. So I'm going to read, starting at chapter 1, verse 26, and then I'm going to skip over to chapter 2. I think it's on the screens, actually, maybe. It is. I don't need to tell you. I'll just start, shall I? Right. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the sea, over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And then skipping to chapter 2, verse 8. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. And in the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is Pishon. It winds through the entire land of, I didn't practice this, Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. And the name of the second river is the, did you say Gihon? Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. And the name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of the Ashur. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will most certainly die. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky, and he brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs, and then he closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So Jane, please come up. And I'm going to ask Jane. Jane coordinates PEP across Uganda. And I'm just going to ask her a simple question by way of introduction to tell us a little bit about how is PEP changing life for people and communities across Uganda?
PEP is changing the lives of people through the Bible studies. We found that through the Bible studies, people are discovering who they are, who they truly are before the sight of God, who they can become, the potential they have. And as many people begin to work towards transforming their lives to become what God wants them to be.
So how's that changing not only their lives but communities? What happens then?
Well, it changes when people change their own lives. And they begin looking at themselves differently. They also begin looking at the community differently. So they are not only changing their lives, they're also changing the lives of the community around them. And the church knows that it is her responsibility to bring transformation in the community around. The reason that God places a church there is for the community. So it's not enough for the church to transform itself alone. It's also supposed to transform the community around her.
Isn't that what we want for here in Bristol as well? It's what we want everywhere. It's the role of the church, isn't it? So this morning we're going to be focusing on individuals. This afternoon at the 5, we're probably going to be talking a little bit more about what happens once the church really engages and becomes salt and light in the community. So you might want to come back for more. And I'm going to pray for Jane now, then we're going to kick off with a little film. So if you want to extend a hand, you may like to do that. And Father, we thank you and bless you and praise you for all that you're doing in Uganda and the way that you've called Jane to this extraordinary role to oversee that. What a privilege and what a blessing she is. We pray now, Lord, that you would take her words and speak to us through them. Help to make divine connections in our minds, Lord, so that we begin to think what that would mean for us here, as well as just wonder at what you're doing across in Uganda. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. So we've got this little film about a woman called Santa. It's a funny name, like Father Christmas. And this is someone you met last week?
Yes.
In Kitgum.
I met lots of people, and there are lots of transformation, but I'm only able to show one.
Yeah, we'll show one to now, and we'll maybe give you some others for your website. We could give you those little films. And so we're going to watch this now, and Jane might pick up the story halfway through because the subtitles don't tell the full story.
Ati dan mulare ganga ti ya were era you know ko ma alare ni ka no dan mu guar pe ko ma ku me an kar ma pa lare ba na ma kon fun do ko na ti te ko dan wi la ko an na tun ko mu were wa pe ru wondo tun mer ka ru 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 ya ka bul ti tun mer ka do bul an na tun ko mu
She's actually explaining how Pep has changed her. She used to be a drunkard, and in the drinking place, she would sing. She would sing trance night, and her work was just to sing. But now she's explaining how she's changed. Before, if her husband came back, her husband used to drink as well. And when her husband comes back, she would actually separate the beds because he was stinking. When he studied about Pep, he learned about love. And she started by loving her husband differently. And she says her husband would come drunk and he would wake up finding that she has cuddled him around. And in Uganda, you don't talk about relationships openly. But the process has helped her to learn how to love her husband, and she's free about it, and she shares it openly. It's also after that their relationship really, really improved. So the husband who used to drink and would shout at her saw the love she had for him, and he began to love her as well. So their relationship has proved. They have showed love to their children. They love their family. They also love their neighbors. So life has really changed around them. So she's explaining how in her family they do things together. She's saying, give us 3 years. And when you come back, you'll find that we've completely transformed.
Thank you.
So she finishes with a dance to show how much has transformed in her life. And when she's narrating, you feel, even when you are not getting what she's saying, you feel the excitement and the joy that is happening in her. So a lot of people, that's just one example. There are thousands of stories we can talk about how the Bible has transformed the lives of people in Uganda. I love your theme because you are talking about wholeness. And actually, we've discovered that that is the heart of God. So what actually you're talking about is the heart of God. And it's not the heart of God now. It is the heart of God from the very beginning. And we are seeing that right from Genesis, God had a plan for humankind. And we've just read the verses from Genesis that are talking about God talking about let's create man in our own image and in our likeness. And that was the beginning of everything. So for us in Uganda, we begin with that Bible study. It is the foundation of everything. When that verse in Genesis chapter 1 says, God said, let's create man in our own image and in our likeness, we pause there. And we ask ourselves questions. Studying the Bible is about asking questions that help us discover what the Bible is saying exactly. If I had time, I would ask you some of those questions. Maybe allow me ask only two. And one of the questions we ask ourselves is, what does it mean to be created in the image of God? Can we share together? I want to hear how would you answer that? Because for us, we talk about that a lot. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God says, let us create man in our own image and in our likeness. What comes to your mind when you read that verse? Anybody wants to try? Yes. Can we have a microphone maybe? I want you to describe it. What does it mean to be created in the image and in the likeness of God?
To love, to have the capacity to love.
Yeah? To have a capacity to love.
He puts his heart in us so that when we look at things around us, we see it with his heart and his eyes.
He puts his heart in us. Yes? One more. Okay. What does it mean to be created in the image of God?
It means to us that how much he loves us, that he created us exactly as he is. Okay. On his image, on his heart, and as he is.
Okay. Thank you very much. When we discuss these Bible studies, we talk a lot about that because it is important for us to know why God created us. And the reason he's creating us is so that we are in his image. If you don't understand that, if you understand that, it helps you look at yourself differently and also look at others differently. In where I come from in Uganda and also in Kitgum, we've gone through a lot. We have gone through war, we have gone through poverty, we've gone through suffering. And sometimes we look at ourselves like we are meant to be poor. We are meant to be suffering. We are meant to go through all these difficult things. But when we come to this verse and we are talking about creating, being created in the image of God, it makes us look at ourselves differently. Can you imagine you are created in the image of God, the Almighty Father? So people may have talked so many things about you, how you are ugly, how you are stupid, how you are foolish, how you are not smart. But that doesn't matter. What matters is you are actually created in the image of God. So when we discover that we are created in the image of God, it begins to build self-esteem in us. that we are not only these black poor Africans that have to beg from other people who are better off. We are actually created in the image of God. And being created in the image of God has a lot. One is that we are supposed to reflect God here on earth. So that when people see us, do they see God in us? So you talked about love. It talks about having the character of God and the attributes of God. And that's why you're saying he placed his heart in us. God is loving. God is caring. God is faithful. He is just. And when he's creating this human being who is both black and white, he is looking at a loving, a caring, a just, a faithful human being. So he says, I create you in our own image. So when we ask ourselves that question, we ask, so how much of the image of God are we reflecting where we are? So it makes us to begin thinking differently. And we could also ask ourselves the same question. How much do you reflect the image of God where you are? In your own community, do you reflect the image of God? Or do people just see you like any other person? So when we started this Bible study, we go verse by verse. Now, we don't have the time to go verse by verse. So I'll skip certain verses. But the most interesting bit I want to look at is that when God created man in the image of God, he took him somewhere, and that was the Garden of Eden. He placed him in the Garden of Eden. Can you imagine the Garden of Eden as we are reading in chapter 2? I imagine it is a very beautiful place, maybe more beautiful than England. I imagine the Garden of Eden is not too cold and freezing all the time. Sometimes I suffer when I come here, and Nadine makes sure she invites me always in winter so that I experience the coldness. But when we imagine the Garden of Eden, it's not even like Africa where it gets so hot to 40 degrees. But it was a beautiful place, and that is where God placed man. It reflects to us that God had a plan and a wonderful plan for human beings. And today we are talking about wholeness, and wholeness is beginning to think about what was that plan that God had for human beings. And I love to look at in Genesis, how did that Garden of Eden look like that he placed man? And we begin from verse 8. What is it that he wanted man to have? How is it that he wanted man to live? So when you look at verse 8, we will not go one by one, but I will just highlight what was in the Garden of Eden. You see that in the Garden of Eden, God prepared a beautiful garden. And in that garden, there was everything. That garden actually was a home. It was a place for Adam. So as we started that, we discovered that, so Adam and Eve had a home for their own. They had a place they called their own home, and that was the Garden of Eden. And as we are studying these Bible studies, we also keep reflecting to ourselves, do we have a place of our own? And how does it look like? So we may have a place of our own, but it may not be so good, or sometimes we don't even have. When you read verse 9 in chapter 2 of Genesis, it says, and God had placed there beautiful, everything entertaining and pleasing to the eyes. So Adam and Eve actually had all the entertainment they needed. They didn't need to go to Africa to watch the elephants and the lions and the big five. They were actually there. And the Bible says the birds of the air would sing And as they are singing, they are praising the Lord. Everything in the Garden of Eden actually praised God. The trees, everything was beautiful. You don't go to look for waterfalls. It was there. So he had enough entertainment in the Garden of Eden. Three, he had plenty of food. Our food from here has to come from Africa or South Africa or Latin America. And actually the bananas, me, I don't eat bananas here because they're actually not very nice. Come to Uganda and you'll know how bananas taste. Pineapples, they are very nice. So in the Garden of Eden, all that was there, fresh. You don't have to transport it, so you have to pick it raw so that it doesn't have to rot. You were eating fresh food from the Garden of Eden. There was plenty of water. And the Bible tells us there were two rivers. There was a river that divided into four rivers. Can you imagine two people are drinking from four rivers? Plenty of water, fresh water, not contaminated. In the Garden of Eden, there was gold. They didn't need to buy anything. But they had the gold. They had all the wealth. And actually, very expensive stones. It is described in chapter 2 from verse 10 and 11 and 12. But also, Adam had a responsibility. He had a job. He was put in the Garden of Eden to take care of the garden. So he was not unemployed. Today we are crying, our youth are unemployed. But in the Garden of Eden, there was a job for Adam and Eve. They had to name the animals. They had to take care of the birds. They had to take care of the fish. And also they had a law to obey. They were not just put there to figure out what to do and what not to do. But God had clear instructions. Every fruit I give you as food. But this tree in the middle of the garden, you're not supposed to eat because it's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then this tree you're not supposed to eat because it's the tree of life. So there was clear instructions for them to follow. There was smooth relationship between Adam and Eve. The Bible says when Adam saw Eve, she says, "Wow, look, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman." That expression shows how much he really loved her. So they had good relationship. They had good relationship with God. Somewhere in chapter 3 when God came, the Bible says, at the cool of the day, they would hear God walk in the garden. And actually, they would have a good conversation. But also, he had a good relationship with the environment. He was to take care of the environment. He was naming all the animals. He was not running away from the animals, the elephants, the lions. No. They were actually relating together. Life in the garden was holistic. That is how we can summarize it. If you want to see God's intention for man was that we live a holistic life. And holistic life doesn't mean you are only wealthy. It also means you have good relationships. It also means you have good relationship with self, with God, and with one another, and with the environment. Also, they were innocent. They had no guilt. The Bible says they were ashamed. They were naked, but not ashamed. So they had not yet sinned. They were actually living a holistic life. Now, when we started this Bible study, we discover that the way we live is not actually God's purpose of how we should be living. So what happens? So we also study chapter 3, and chapter 3 talks about the fall. And it's actually the fall that distorted what God had planned for mankind. And we saw that the fall began with the disobedience. And as man disobeyed God, And then he was chased out of the Garden of Eden. He lost everything that was in the Garden of Eden. But that is not the end. God still has a plan to restore man back to his original plan. And how does God do that? He actually uses the church today to restore man back to that original plan that he had. That's why when Jesus came in John 10:10, he says, "I come to give life and life in its fullness." So for us to understand what is that life and life in its fullness, we can go back to Genesis and see that life in its fullness meant that man was able to meet his basic needs. So when we do that, we ask ourselves, so what do we do? We go back and say, but God has created us in his own image. For a long time, we've made to believe that we cannot come out of poverty as Africa if nobody from the West helps us. But we discover, no, we are all created in the image of God. And God calls all of us together to work towards bringing about the restoration of what was lost. So then everybody has a part to play to contribute into bringing up that restoration. So people then don't sit down, they wake up. What I've realized with most families, we don't have time to show every story. People begin to say, I can actually make my home a Garden of Eden. Well, we cannot know exactly what was in the Garden of Eden, but we know there were plenty of fruits for people to eat and to enjoy life. So people begin to plant different kinds of fruits around their home. And they begin to say, but there was plenty of water. So they begin to think, what can I do to increase how I get water in my family? There was plenty of food, there was plenty of water, but there was also good relationships. So they ask, how is my relationship, first of all, in our family with me and my husband? How about with the children? And how about with the neighbors? So they begin to work towards improving those relationships. We also learn that in the Garden of Eden, there was a law and it was to be followed. So today the law we have is the Bible. How much do I follow what the Bible tells me? So in so doing, you see that families begin to transform just by doing this Bible study and looking at it differently. It begins to change the attitude of people and how they are thinking. When you look at Santa and she's rejoicing of what God has done, to her it's something so big, because live alone, as Africa, we call ourselves, people look at us as second class. It is even worse with women, because culturally, women are looked at as lower than even men. And even people quote the scripture and say that is why Adam was created first and then later on Eve. So it is given us a very low self-esteem. But this Bible study wakes up and says, no, the Bible actually said male and female, he created them. So it means we are all created in the image of God. We all have a part to play and a role to play in bringing about transformation in our own lives. I'll give you a brief story, very brief. I know I'm left with a few minutes. When we did this Bible study, in Africa, we produced so many children, actually even up to 18. One mother can produce 18. So we're doing this Bible study, and there was a gentleman who was very proud that he had 18 children. And we talked about it and said, but what does the Bible say? He says, yeah, it says multiply and fill the earth. So actually he was producing to multiply and fill the earth. So sometimes even the scriptures are misinterpreted. But doing it together helps us question, but is it really what the Bible says? We discover that, no, it's not all about multiplying and filling the earth. It's also about taking care. So are you able to take care of the 18 children? So you ask him, out of the 18 children, how many are alive and how many are dead? And actually, 10 were dead and 8 were alive. So you ask him, what happened? From that day, there was a woman who was listening. She was a wife of the pastor. She went back home. She had 6 children. She told her husband, we will stop with the children we already have. And now on, we want to focus on how to take care of these children. Because today we learned something very unique. God is so smart. For us, we only produce children. We never plan for them. But God was so smart that he created the whole Garden of Eden with everything and only put 2 people. So why do we want to fill the earth when God starts with 2? So actually, they started their family planning from there. But it is something that you can't stand in the pulpit and preach and tell people, let's do family planning and have few children. They will actually kick you out of the pulpit. So we discover that the Bible study is the best way to help people discover the truth for themselves. And nobody is telling them about that. So this is bringing transformation. We have families that have all challenges. There is family violence. There is abuse of alcohol. There is all sorts of things. But these Bible studies help us to see that, no, that was not God's purpose for mankind. God's purpose for mankind was that we live a good life. And today, for us to live a good life, we have a responsibility to contribute towards that good life that God wants us to live. So I hope you will also do this Bible study one time, and it will bring certain transformation in your life. Your challenges may not be the physical poverty, but there may be certain areas in your life, in your families, that is not bringing that holistic aspect of it. And now that you are talking about wholeness, wholeness begins with us knowing God and understanding what is it that God wants us to be and to become, so that we can also transform the community around us. Thank you so much. God bless you. Now you've done it the Ugandan way. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jane. You did brilliantly well, because I know that if you were speaking in your church or any of the churches back in Uganda, that would just have been the introduction. And so you've done fantastically well. And I think you can begin to see one of the reasons that we're so excited as a leadership for this partnership with Tearfund, because breaking the mold of the old way of supposedly, the great white saviors going in and doing things too and helping, actually going in and empowering, our third word, influence, empowering people to transform culture. And it's not even just the church going out and telling other people what to do. It's the church joining with members of the community, whether they believe or not, and enabling them together to sit down and work out what are going to be the solutions to the challenges that each community faces. And actually, that model can be a model for the way we do things here in Bristol as well. So there's going to be a huge amount of cross-learning from some of the initiatives that we're going to be supporting. And it's wonderfully exciting. So you say, well, what can we do now? Well, there's a number of things. Firstly, Jane's talk was part one, and part two is this evening at the 5. And so do please come back at the 5. You'll hear a different talk. It won't focus so much on individuals, but the transformation of community. And if you can't be here at the 5, then please do listen to the talk during the week. It'll all be on the website by tomorrow. Secondly, you can put a date in your diary for the 16th of March here in the evening. Tearfund is celebrating its 50th birthday, and they're having celebrations all over the UK, and we have the privilege of hosting the Bristol event. That's on the 16th of March at 7:30 in the evening, and that's going to be a wonderful time of celebration and thanking God for all he's done and enabled people to do. And then thirdly, on your seats, you will find, and if you haven't got one on your seat, We can give you them at the end. And this is so that you individually can, as it were, cement your relationship with the sort of work we've been hearing about. We as a church leadership, we're committed to it. We're putting money into it as a leadership. But it may be that you want to have your own individual updates of what's going on, the sort of videos and stories, people like Santa. And if you want those coming into your inbox, you can sign up. You can pray. If you want to give, you're free to do that. But it's not a, we're more covetous, if you like, of your prayers than your money. Although money is always good, of course. But we really just want individuals to be beginning that relationship that we have as a church. And finally, as our singers and musicians come back to the front, Jane and Nad are going to come into the middle, as is our custom. I'm going to invite you to stand. Jackie is going to be at that end with a microphone. I'm going to be at this. And I'm going to invite you to stand as we pray for Jane and her work out in Uganda, right in the middle. This isn't the middle, this is the front. So here we go. Gosh, you're resisting. Push her forwards. Let's stand up. And if you feel you would like to pray, please come grab a microphone from Jackie or from me. If you'd like to pray for Nad in her work as church's relationship manager for Tear Fund, so she travels all over the UK helping churches like ours make this sort of connection. Jane oversees the community transformation projects throughout Uganda. If you'd like to pray for either one of them, or if you have a word from the Lord for them, or anything else you'd just like to speak over them by way of blessing or encouragement or strengthening, please come and grab a microphone, and then we'll bring our gathering to a close after I've prayed.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the amazing work of Tear Fund. Lord, we thank you that you're a caring God, that you tell us we should care for the poor. And Lord, we thank you that not only do we see your work in Uganda, but Lord, we see your love moving there. And Lord, we pray for Jane, we pray for Nad and for the work they do there. And we pray for our brothers and sisters in Africa and in Uganda particularly, Lord. We thank you that you've given us this opportunity to support them for the privilege, Lord. And Father, we pray that we will really learn more about that country, learn more about how they live and make friendships with them. In Jesus' name.
We thank you for our sister Jane, and we just rejoice that you've made us into one big family. And Lord, we just repent of colonialism and the damage that's done, and we're just rejoicing that you're able to restore dignity, self-esteem, but just above all knowing how valuable each child is in your eyes, and that you're placing your heart, but also every attribute of you can be found in each of us. And I pray you bring that out more and more strongly. Pray blessing especially over Jane and her work in Uganda. Pray more and more be drawn into this program, but also we in Bristol and UK would listen, and that we'd be able to bring that amazing thought that every person is such a wonderful image of you. Amen.
Thank you, Father God, for these women of God. And thank you for the words of inspiration, Lord Jesus. May they plant seeds, Lord Jesus, that will be permanent in lives that they're transforming. Thank you, Father God, for all the work they do. May they continue as well to bring lots of waves to what they do, inspiring families, inspiring communities. And pray that, Lord, poverty will be banished at some point, Lord Jesus. That's our prayer. And we just thank you and pray that, Lord, you continue to bless them in the work they do and the families they've transformed. In Jesus' name.
Lord, we thank you so much for this PEP process. We thank you for the transformation it's brought about. And we pray for Jane as she travels around here talking about it, for your mercy on her as she travels back to Uganda. And we pray for the rollout of that process in Kitgum as it expands to cover more and more churches. Continue to pray for your blessing upon the whole PET process in Uganda, that lives, communities, churches will be transformed. In your name, amen.
Yeah, Lord, I just want to thank you for the words that Jane's spoken today, and I just pray for us that we take that hold of that, and that we really just understand who you are and who we are in you, and that we help transform our communities, and that we go from here and we transform the communities that we live in. Amen.
Just sense, Jane, I know you made a joke of the, it was very funny to hear you talk about the filling the earth and multiplying and all those kids. But I just sense the Lord saying that he fully intends to multiply the blessing of your work, multiply the impact of PEP, all that Tear Fund and you and churches here can do in partnership together. And that the Lord's heart is so much bigger, the Lord's sight is so much further than even your own big heart, even your own sight of what can be done. And actually this is truly a program for the transformation of the nations. And the Lord wants to multiply that. So Father, we rejoice together as a family that we have heard this good news today. It has been good news to our ears. It's been food for our hearts. It's been encouragement for our minds. It's been inspiration for our desire to see your transformation. And we ask now your blessing upon Tear Fund, NAD, as she represents them. We ask your blessing upon the nation of Uganda and upon this amazing work of community transformation, and Jane as she represents that. And all the Lord's people agreed and said together in a loud voice, Amen. 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 I think the next time anybody asks me what I think God's like, I'm going to say, well, he's smart. Let's give Jane and Nad another. Oh, no.
Thank you. And just to say, this remarkable snapshot you've got there, the God move thing that's happening is that's being rolled out across the whole of Uganda. This has got the capacity to change a whole nation. The Archbishop of Kenya is a trainer like Jane. He has rolling that across the whole country of Kenya. So this has got the capacity to change whole nations. In Rwanda, the same is happening. And the privilege of Tear Fund is that this process is happening in over 40 countries now. It's a God thing. We will read about this in history books. And the money that is given goes to train people to take their communities through these Bible studies. It doesn't get given into people's hands. It doesn't go into Santa's hand. It's empowering. That's for church leaders and lay members as well. It's wonderful.
Okay, fantastic. Let's worship, and as we draw things to a close.